Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
How about that Dominic Brown signing? Pretty happy?
I'm ecstatic.
Kevin's been bragging all day about Dominic Brown. He always was one of your favorite players.
Gone.
And not only that, but your kid now has a picture full after. How about that one?
He has a picture of what?
With a guy that they named a rule after.
That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah, not many. You can't say that for very many people.
Rule.
There's actually a rule named after me. The chase rule. And it's not about chasing anybody.
We'll talk about that in a little bit. First of all, our play-by-play call of the day.
Here we go, Duchesne. Picks it up at center ice. Into the shark zone. He can win it right here through the circle. Down low. Holds back. And score! He went to the forehand. And a good goal. And the Avs win in a shootout over the San Jose Sharks by a final score of 4-3.
I sense he went to the forehand.
He went to the forehand.
There we go. A lot to talk about, and I want to get more into the Kirk Cousins, Sam Bradford, Ryan Fitzpatrick problem for each team. I want to get a little bit into the combine, the new baseball rules. As Penn State takes on Nebraska here at the Jordan Center, 7 o'clock, the tip-off. We're on beginning at 6. 1070 WKOK. Ben Jones, StateCollege.com, joins us, and Ben... Penn State's won 3 of its last 4. The record says there's progress. Your visuals, are you seeing progress?
I think it really comes down to confidence and shot making. And I think, you know, we've seen for the past few years, and this year included, that, you know, it's not been a matter of Penn State can't get the shots that it wants. It's just been a matter of sometimes they don't go in, sometimes they go in for a while, and then they don't go in for an 8 or 5 minute span. And against a lot of teams in the Big Ten, you know, if the offense struggles for 5-6 minutes, that can be all a good team needs to put Penn State away. So I think as you watch Penn State play, you see a team that's making confidence shots. And I think that really started in the Indiana game where Penn State, you know, matched Indiana shot for shot down the stretch, really, you know, sometimes in certain respects set the tone for when those big shots are going to be made. I think that in the second half of the Nebraska game is really the only, you know, half that they've had in this four-game stretch where things have not really clicked all that much, but without a doubt they played well against Iowa. And you know, the first half of that Rutgers game, at least for the first 10 minutes, you know, they got whatever look they wanted, they made a lot of them, and then in the second half they had that sort of counterpunch to get back out into ahead by double digits. So I think a lot of that comes back to confidence, and obviously you're going to be a confident team when you're making shots, and Penn State's doing it right now.
Well, the margin of error has always been an interesting subject with this team, which I've discussed many times over the years. And thus, you know, it's always been a program that really can't afford to lose somebody or so forth. This team is 4-4 when Josh Reeves is in the lineup in the conference. What does he bring to the table that helps at least give them a more complete look on the floor?
I think his athleticism is really one of those things that makes him stand out. He's a high-energy guy. I think the fact that, you know, obviously Penn State would love to have him, you know, or have had him the whole year, but the sit out a few weeks to miss that chunk of time, he's got fresh legs. I think the fact that he is so long and can cover so much space, it really gives Penn State on the defensive side of the ball, especially a guy who's really sort of prone to break a play open, get that steal in the passing lane, and take it the other direction. So I think that kind of energy, that kind of threat making, which, you know, threat making is not really, you know, think of it more of a football term almost, but, you know, he has the ability to really change a play all on his own. And I think you've seen, you know, if stats kept up with all of the steals that you've almost had, I think Josh Reeves probably has twice as many steals in the box score than he gets on any given game because he's so athletic. So I think that goes to the confidence, with the fact that he's a guy out there not really afraid to make plays. Obviously, there's been some moments where you go, you know, maybe you didn't need to go all out for that one because then it leaves another guy in a situation that he has to make up for your, you know, sort of over-enthusiasm for making a big play. But I think without a doubt, you know, when he's in the lineup, he's a guy that brings a lot of energy and a lot of athleticism to the table. That I asked Brandon Taylor who he reminds him of, and it's actually sort of interesting, but he said that he thinks Josh reminds him the most of Ross Travis, which is one of those things that, you know, obviously they play a different position, but Ross was always a super athletic guy that really sort of found his stride his last year. And Josh obviously is coming in with plenty of confidence his freshman season and certainly seems capable of taking that farther.
You mentioned Brandon Taylor in that answer. Brandon Taylor's the Big Ten co-player of the week, and he's coming off a 17-point career-high 14 effort against Rutgers on Saturday. When you talk about player development of someone within the program, that's always brought up. What kind of player development have you seen in Brandon Taylor as he's now about to finish his fourth and final season?
I think he's really sort of the poster child for what Pat Chambers and his staff can do to a guy. I mean, obviously, you know, forwards and guards and centers all are different positions to get better at, but I think if you look at how Brandon changed over 4 years, and, you know, in shape, but maybe not the shape they needed him to be. He's more lean, he's more athletic. You know, they get him there in a few years, and he becomes a player that, you know, when he got to on campus, he was someone that, he was a big man that could shoot threes. Sometimes he'd have his back to the back. You know, through a sort of personal renaissance, if you will, to go from a guy that does sort of these outside shooting, a little mid-range, to really primarily playing with his back to the basket and still shooting those outside shots. And I think, you know, Fran McCaffrey said it after the game that really makes him one of the most difficult, you know, matchups in the Big Ten. And I think without a doubt, you know, you see what you can do from a player development standpoint with a guy like that. Sometimes it's really hard to get a guy to change his game 3 or 4 years into his career, and I think Brandon's done a great job sort of buying into what they need him to do to be successful, and he's been successful doing it. So I don't think, you know, there's really nothing that you can say that Brandon Taylor could be doing better on any given night. Even mentally, I think he's done a good job coming from the freshman guy that he was that would get emotional and sort of lose focus a little bit to a guy who can miss some shots, maybe make a mistake on defense, and come back onto the other end of the floor and play with the same kind of intensity and confidence that he had two possessions earlier. So I think, you know, he's the guy that you sell and say, look what we did to Brandon Taylor, and we can do that.
160 minutes of good to read the 160. We are a category that was Nebraska. What did you see in that spot that it was completely different than what we've seen?
I think it's just a reminder that this is a relatively young team, and I think they got a little rattled in that second half. The shots didn't really fall. Nebraska, that's a tough place to play. Obviously, they're not quite as good this year as they've been the past few years in the new building, but I think, you know, you take that punch, and sometimes you can't punch back, and I think the fact that Brandon Taylor was out with three fouls, he kind of limited the amount of time that he could contribute, and obviously, even when he's not scoring, just his presence on the floor is a nice sort of anchor to keep everyone on the same page. So I think, you know, all of those things are just, you know, sometimes when you have a young team, sometimes when you have a team that's prone to having the offense just sort of go cold over a short period of time, combine that with the fact that Nebraska got hot in the second half, I think those things, it all sort of unraveled. And I think that's what you heard this week coming into the game tonight, that they watched that second half film and just felt like the wheels kind of fell off. And I think, you know, I don't know if Penn State will win tonight. I certainly think that they're playing good enough basketball to beat Nebraska. There's no doubt about that. But I think this game, if nothing else, is a chance for this team to prove that they can play a full 40 minutes against this team. And win or lose, I think you're going to see that kind of effort tonight.
The other part, too, is that Nebraska had 70 points in that game, and half of them were from one guy, 35 from Andrew White III. Now, Siobhan Shields should be back and playing tonight. Now, how much he plays remains to be seen. But it looks like Tim Miles is an interesting team. They have 14 wins, but 6 of the 14, which is 43% of them, our RPI is 303 to 347, which is one of the reasons why their RPI is only at like 161 or something like that overall.
They probably have a few more wins if Shields is healthy. Obviously, he's the kind of guy that you want, but I don't think there's any doubt that they're sort of maybe not regressing to the mean. You don't want to say that, but I think the team that they were 2 years ago is probably a great way to sort of introduce yourself to the conference that you can really be a legit contender in the Big Ten. But I think you're right. When you look at, really all of the wins that they have, there's really nothing. You know, you can say beating Tennessee just because that's a team that's at least interesting enough to say you beat. But sure, the other wins are coming at Rutgers, against Minnesota, at Illinois. That win against Michigan State certainly shows that when these guys click, they can beat people.
Regularity. Last 3 years, they've beaten them each of the last 3 years.
Yeah,
really?
Sometimes, I mean, you've seen that with some of these teams. You know, Penn State's given Michigan State a good fight over the past 2 years. They almost beat Maryland, but Maryland is one of they're a weird team too, because it seems like to people, but they're just certainly just beatable on any given night, even though they find ways to win. So I don't think there's any doubt that Nebraska is a good team, but certainly the wins that they have are not exactly against great opponents.
When I was doing the Penn State Hoops Club luncheon on Tuesday, Josh Reeves with a two-player guest. So when I'm done questioning them, we open it up to questions. And Donovan Jack was naturally asked by one of the fans about his resurgence in the past week or so. And he said, is it that you're playing better, you match up better, or did you sell your soul to the devil? I looked over his questions. I've never once asked a player if they sold their soul to the devil. So taking option three off the table, Ben, what difference do you see in Donovan Jack?
Well, obviously that's not the one I would have guessed, but I think when you have a team that's making shots, I think when Shep Gardner makes shots, that makes Penn State a much better team in all areas of the floor. I think the fact that he sort of spreads things out gives Donovan Jack an opportunity to sort of find those open spaces, get closer to the basket. I think a lot of, especially the Iowa game, as well as he played, I think he really benefited from the fact that everyone else was playing well as well. And he's a good complementary player. I don't think there's any doubt that when you see the ball go through the hoop, it's going to help your confidence, and he's a guy playing with a lot of confidence. But I think at the same time, when the defense has to spread out, when the paint's not as packed, and when everyone has got to, when Penn State's making shots and keeping defenses honest, it really opens up the floor for Donovan, and I think he's taking advantage of that. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, very much. Look forward to seeing you tonight.
Thanks for having me, Steve. See you tonight.
Ben Jones, StayCollege.com. Kevin Herr's complete analysis of the interview, as only he can do it, in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. One of our favorite segments is when Kevin analyzes the answers from the interviews.
You had an interview?
Oh, boy. Even the hostage didn't notice. All right. Even the paid hostage couldn't tell. Hey, let's get back to the topic I opened the show with.
No. It's too depressing. Actually, you know what? What's that?
About the quarterbacks?
No. Oh, you opened the show with. I thought you meant what opened the hour with. I thought you were going to talk about Dominic Brown. I'm like, no, I don't want to talk about Dominic Brown.
I could care less. Good luck to him.
That's what I say. Good luck.
I'm sorry about when I opened the show.
Oh, okay. You're talking about the quarterback situation and where everybody plays out. Yeah.
I think what has happened is that we know quarterback is such an important spot. It's the most important spot on the field. We all know that. If you don't have one, you don't have one that's competent, you're not going to win. Carson Palmer is a perfect example of what I'm talking about here. After Kurt Warner left the Arizona Cardinals, they really were a mess at quarterback. They just couldn't settle into anything, and the record reflected that. Carson Palmer is not a great quarterback, but he's a good to very good NFL quarterback that is handles game speed for the most part really well. And when he signed with Arizona after he left Oakland, he settled the position down, which in turn settled Arizona down. They were then allowed to take advantage of some really good speed on the outside. Floyd became more productive. Larry Fitzgerald's coming off a really good year this year. And just Carson Palmer being there and giving them a good to very good presence at quarterback gave them a chance to get all the way to the NFC Championship game. But Carson Palmer is also a proven year-in and year-out commodity. As much as you disliked him at Cincinnati, that's just a personal prejudice on your part.
Agreed.
Oh, you're such a fan.
And well, I'm not going to deny that there was a prejudice. Yes, there is.
But he settles the position down. It's not a surprise that, for example, the Ravens struggled a lot this year when Joe Flacco finally left the lineup. They just couldn't get anything done. Now that brings us to Kirk Cousins of the Redskins, Sam Bradford of the Eagles, and Ryan Fitzpatrick of the Jets. Each one now is in a contract situation. They are not in the same situation as Andrew Luck is. Andrew Luck is a given. He is going to get Aaron Rodgers' money. Aaron Rodgers is the highest paid player in the NFL at $22 million a year. I think he makes $100,000 more per year than Russell Wilson. And Luck is going to be right there in that neighborhood. Young, incredible skill, great pre-snap mind, fabulous arm, big-time player. But these three guys are in a different mode. And the different mode is as follows. Let's start with Kirk Cousins. I'll go back to where I started the show. Kirk Cousins had 29 touchdowns and 11 interceptions this year for the Redskins and over 4,000 yards passing and completed nearly 70% of his passes. Started all 16 games. The playoff game against Green Bay, he did not play a great game. But the final three games of the regular season, they played Buffalo, the Eagles, and the Cowboys. And he threw 11 touchdown passes and no interceptions in those three big must-win games down the stretch. But the Redskins have to make a decision now on Kirk Cousins. Is that the guy we're going to pay for? Is that what we're going to get? Or did we get a one-hit wonder that the league is going to adjust to? Sam Bradford. Is that a one-year, one-hit wonder where he stayed healthy all year for the first time in his career, played good to very good football, and now the Eagles have to ask themselves, is that the Sam Bradford we get each of the next 5 years? Ryan Fitzpatrick. Usually when he goes to a team, he gets out of the gate. His pattern has been get out of the gate first month, get off to a really good start. Season goes along, season fades, he fades. This time, is December was not that great. But his September, October, November were really good, and the Jets went 10-6. What does each team do? Do you franchise each guy and say, hey, look, show me one more time. You're going to get a lot of money this year, but it's a one-shot deal. Is that how you handle it? The Eagles say they're not going to franchise Bradford. Because I don't see immediate help in the draft that's going to change each franchise where they sit there and say, you know what, the heck with this. We're going to draft a guy. Or they have a guy in the roster that's ready to move up between... Look, firstly, the Browns are going to pick the North Dakota State kid, Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz is going to go to the Browns. Everyone's pretty sure of that. But then between Goff, Hackenberg, Prescott, Connor Cook, Paxton Lynch, not one of those has the ability to step in and start right away. I think it's a big decision for all three because you're talking about making a long-term commitment that involves big money, big signing bonus, and guaranteed money where you're rolling the dice. If you give them a long-term deal, you're rolling the dice that what you just saw as a one-hit wonder is actually the consistency you're going to see for the next 5 years. And this is where the general managers, this is where they make their money, decisions like that.
Presidents Washington and Lincoln could have never imagined that their day would mean one thing. Huge deals at Sunbury Motors Ford. SMC is celebrating President's Day now through the end of the month with their annual President's Day sales event. Choose from over 400 new Ford cars, trucks, and SUVs with savings up to 11 grand. Pick from over 50 of the stylish 2016 Ford Fusion and take $3,000 off. Plus, get 0% financing for up to 72 months. And they start as low as $19,765. SMC has 75 of the top-selling 2016 Ford Escape with savings of $2,750. Plus, get 0% financing for up to 6 years. And they're priced from just $20,490. Last year, Sunbury Motors was one of the top-selling F-150 dealers in the entire Harrisburg and Philadelphia region. And they're loaded up with over 100 Ford trucks in stock with savings up to 11 grand. See for yourself why more people are heading to Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. Proudly serving all of Central Pennsylvania since 1915.
When Woodrow Wilson was in the White House.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Now, as you know, of the five I have, my son Dan listens to the show, and he's actually called into the show a few times from New Hampshire.
He's no longer a first-time caller, but he is a long-time listener.
Yes. Well, today's his birthday. So it's his 30th birthday. Now, you know how funny he is. So I sent him a text this morning, and it was a funny text. You know, not off-color. It was just a funny text between an inside joke between the two of us. He sends me back a text later, and it says, "Thanks for the awesome jeans."
That's good. Now, my son Dan had a birthday yesterday. I sent him a text to say happy birthday. I got back, "Thanks." Not the same. It's not quite the same. They may have the same name and the almost the same birthday, but that's where it ends.
I sent him out to exactly what I texted him this morning, and it's an inside joke between the two of us, all right? And it says, "Happy 30th birthday, 30 gorgeous years." Right? That's what I put with that. And then he texted me back, "Thanks for the flawless jeans." Nice. With an exclamation point. So, oh my goodness. Time now for the sports bozo of the day. And it goes to those in the media. Huge deal out of Christian Hackenberg and Bill O'Brien having press conferences several feet apart at Lucas Oil Stadium today.
They were almost on the same podium together.
Even I
think that's crazy.
Oh, just let them each do their job. It's all right. Bill O'Brien's responsibility is to the Houston Texans. And also his own job. Do the Texans need a quarterback? Yeah. But they also have some other needs at positions, too. What do you think? I don't know.
Well, and that's the only questions they actually, you know, got for a while with those two each got a question about each other. You know, Bill O'Brien handled it really well. I mean, he said that he's known him since he was 17, and you know that he comes from a good family. And what was it? Oh, here it is. I've known him since he was 17. I know his family. He's a talented guy and a great kid.
Yeah.
That's enough. On we go to the next one. What'd you want him to say?
Oh, we're definitely picking him in 22.
Yeah, we want him.
In fact, we may move up. He's a guy. It's like, you know, nobody plays their hand like that.
And listen, when you look at the way the draft is lining up right now, if Bill O'Brien and the Texans decide to go quarterback, it could very well, he could very well be there at 22 and be the number one quarterback on the list. Because you have to think Goff is gone and Wentz gone and Lynch is gone.
Or
he picks somebody else at 22 and Christian Hackenberg's still available in the second round. And if he thinks.
Very true.
It's got to be whatever. Do they need a quarterback in Houston? Houston's in a really interesting spot because they drafted Tommy Savage out of Pitt in the fourth round. Two years ago. Big time arm. But I don't know how big watching him in the practice squad. I have no idea. Now, you notice when push came to shove, they had Brian Hoyer, Ryan Mallett, and T.J. Yates. There was no Tommy Savage. You notice that, right?
I looked at the depth chart a couple of weeks ago, actually.
And it, they do need a quarterback. Brian Hoyer is, if you had to pick somebody that was more in the mode of a solid, can win you a couple of game backup quarterback kind of guy, To me, that's what he fits. Now, if Bill thinks differently, he knows quarterbacks better than I do. He knows Brian Hoyer better than I do because he coached him with the Patriots. Yep. But Bill also showed some indecision this year when it came to what to do with the quarterback because he dumped Hoyer at one point and put Ryan Mallett in there, and Mallett wasn't mature enough to handle it. And that's something that Bill, I think, should have read because he coached him with the Patriots too. I mean, Mallett's one of those guys with all the ingredients that you want, you know, height, arm, the whole deal. But again, you know, he's with the Ravens now. And he won a game with the Ravens as a starting quarterback. Mallett will be the first to admit that, you know, he has shown bouts of immaturity. And that's why the Ravens, that's why the Texans. But he has to make it on the board as to what he thinks is best. I mean, if you notice, Bill has not drafted a single Penn State player in the 2 years he's been down. It's his third draft coming up. He has not drafted any of them. And I think the only Penn State players he's had on the roster, he brought Zach Zwinak into camp. And I think Devin still just signed with him, but still never played for Bill. He was already gone by the time Bill got here. Bill's, because Devin's senior season was Joe Paterno and Tom Bradley. But that's it. He hasn't brought in the other guys from here that he hasn't done it.
Well, his three quarterbacks.
He had a chance to draft Allen Robinson, didn't do it. I mean, so look, when it comes to doing what he's doing, he's a pro and he's looking around saying, look, what wins for me as to what I want to do?
Well, the Texans' current depth chart is Brian Hoyer, Brandon Wheaton, and B.J. Daniels. Not one of those guys comes out and says, I am a franchise quarterback.
All right.
Now, Brian Hoyer, probably, I mean, he's in the right spot. He is the best of the three. There's no question about it. He statistically shows. I mean,
Right.
But it's just, you know, at 91... that is not a number that if you're a Texans fan that you're going to feel comfortable about being your franchise quarterback.
No, I mean, no question. No question about that.
Is this a deep quarterback draft, though, Steve? I mean, it seems to be. I mean, it seems to be you got one, two, three, four, maybe four guys going possibly in the first round.
I don't know. Let me. Carson Wentz I like a lot. I really do. He is powerfully built, great arm, outstanding leadership. He played big in big games. He played big in big moments. And by the way, if they moved up and played an FBS team like Kansas State, they beat them. And they say at the Senior Bowl, he blew everybody away. The Browns pick. Goff is slight of build, although he's only 8 pounds less than Christian Hackenberg. He has relatively small hands. His hands are smaller than Johnny Manziel's. I remember that was a big thing about Johnny Manziel. Like, okay, you know, you're like, well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, it has to do with fumbling the football. It has to do with grip and fumbling the ball. You have smaller hands, you're not going to be able to grip the ball. You're going to be easier to strip or knock the ball away from. That's what concerns NFL coaching staffs and personnel, player personnel people about smaller hands at the quarterbacks. And Goff has that. Now, Goff had a great bowl game, and Goff had a really good regular season. There's no getting around it. He brings a lot of really nice tools to the table. Paxton Lynch had a huge game in beating Ole Miss at the Liberty Bowl during the regular season when Memphis upset Ole Miss. And seems to be a really good quarterback. I think he moves pretty well, has a decent arm. But again, I don't picture him stepping in and starting right away. I think he needs time behind somebody else before he does anything. Connor Cook. Jack Ham and I have had the same opinion about Connor Cook that we've had the entire time. Neither one of us is buying. A lot of people are buying on Connor Cook, and neither one of us are buying on him. There's something about him that's good, but there's something about him that with each of us that isn't quite there. Now, I know when it comes to the leadership part, we've already talked about Kirk Cousins extensively in this show today. Kirk Cousins has a leadership ability that every team is aching to have in a quarterback. Every team is aching to have that kind of leadership personality at the quarterback spot. That's Kirk Cousins. He's got it when it comes to the leadership part. When you talk to people at Michigan State, they don't talk about Connor Cook like that.
Didn't he have a shoulder injury late in the year, too?
Yeah, he did. But you know what? To his credit against Penn State, you know, he only had to throw one pass downfield that had something on it, and he completed it. They did it. In fact, you notice the end of the half, like in the Penn State game, they brought in the backup quarterback, Tyler O'Connor, the ball downfield. Well, to his credit, he played through it because they needed him to, and I think that's a plus. He played through it in the championship game against Iowa. That's a plus. But there's something about him that's missing with me. And he's not a guy I would spend a first-round draft pick on. I'm just telling you my opinion on him. He may prove me to be absolutely wrong, but I would not spend a first-round pick on Connor Cook. And I absolutely would not spend one on Dak Prescott.
You know,
I
had heard a lot of people that are a lot smarter than I am when it comes to evaluating quarterbacks. And the two things that I hear from a lot of these experts are his footwork isn't the best, and he has a tendency to fall away from his target when he throws the ball.
Okay, that part, I'd have to look at a tape to know. But when it comes to the quarterback part, you're the one that touted Carson Wentz before I ever did. And you were the first one up and said right away, said, Steve, watch this guy play. Now, you follow FBS more than I do, and you were on top of him right away. Well, he's going to be the second overall pick in the draft unless something really dramatic happens.
He has one major issue, though, and I have seen him a lot. So I'm not a quarterback expert, but I have seen him a lot. He has a tendency to stare down targets, which you can get away with a little bit more at the FCS level than you can at FBS. But I think if he gets away from that, that will be a big help. If he learns to look off defenders, that will be a big help in his development.
Well, Hugh Jackson, by the way, I think Hugh Jackson was a great hire by Cleveland. I think the Raiders blew it on him. Now, obviously, they've done a good job out there. You know, the Raiders have a fine young team, but Hugh Jackson, I thought, got the short end out in Oakland as a head coach. I think the Browns made a great hire in him. I think getting the right quarterback will be critical. But you got six quarterbacks in there. Two might start right away. Maybe Goff if the Rams pick him. Maybe Carson Wentz if the Browns pick him. The other ones, Kevin, I don't see it happening right away. I see some of them being on the Brock Osweiler plan, where you give them a little bit of time, let them get a feel for it, don't throw them into the fire right away, and then when they're finally ready, play them. It's not, now, of all of them, Hackenberg probably has the most natural gifts of all of them. But again, his footwork under pressure, and occasionally his pocket feeler, a couple things he's going to have to talk extensively about when they sit down to do the interviews. Now, of course, we know in the interviews they get asked all sorts of wacky questions. Some of the questions they get asked, look, just talk to these people. You know, it's fine. Find out about, questions that are fine. You know, ask about their family background, about growing up, about their brothers and sisters, about, you know, and so forth. And then I would ask about the recruiting process and why you picked some school. You know, and one of the things with Christian Hackenberg, I'd say, again, why is it when everything was surrounding Penn State was a minefield, you stuck with the commitment? Why? You know, why did you, and then you stuck with the school for 3 years. Why? I mean, I would ask him those questions because I want to get a feel for the guy's personality and what makes him tick. I'm not going to ask him stupid questions such as two cars are going down the road. One goes 100 miles, the other one goes 50. You know, and they can ask stuff like that. You're like, what the heck is going on? Now, I'll say this. Of all the quarterbacks, I would expect in the Wunderlich test, from what I understand, Cook would be the guy that would score the highest in the Wunderlich. That's what they say. I mean, very smart, the whole thing. But, you know, there was a point in his career where you got a sense that everybody took the bus and he took it.
Here's an interesting comment from Hugh Jackson, the Cleveland Browns head coach, not that long ago when he was talking about quarterbacks. And obviously their number one need is a quarterback. This tells you exactly where Johnny Manziel stands in the new organization and the new coaching staff. He said hand size, a trait that draws a lot of attention when it comes to quarterback, does matter for signal callers because of the rain and the snow that you play in the AFC North. That right there should tell you Johnny Manziel's time is gone because he does not want to.
They've already said it's gone.
Well,
they've already alluded to it. Right. Okay. And in fact, Johnny Manziel being brought up in this conversation is thoroughly irrelevant as far as I'm concerned. They're drafting a quarterback.
Well, but what the reason
Manziel's
I bring it up.
Done. Gone.
The reason I bring it up is here's a team that has not been able to draft a quarterback in how many years? Every time you turn around, Cleveland has to draft a quarterback. They're going to be, I think this coaching staff is going to be extremely picky. Because they don't want to spend a ton more money on a quarterback that isn't going to amount to anything. Because how many of them in a row have they had so far in different coaching staffs?
Yeah, but some of them have been down there like Whedon deep in the first round. Manziel was picked way deep in the first round. They got the second overall pick this time. They've got, except for Tim Couch, who was the first overall pick. They've got like the choice to really sit down and look at each one of them. If I'm the Browns and I own the Browns, man, now I'm Jimmy Haslam. I'm really, really rich. Hold on for a moment while I savor that.
Hang on. I got to enjoy this a minute.
Let me enjoy this for a second. I look at Hugh Jackson and the new GM. And I look at them and I say, look, you got 5 years. You got 5 years. You're not going to look over your shoulders. I'm not going to second guess you. Anything. You got 5 years to show me what you got. Because let's face it, the Browns have made the playoffs once since now. The next 5 years be worse than the previous five? No. Stick with one group that you trust and see what kind of results you get. You are you're getting close to a transitional phase in the AFC North. Because Roethlisberger has, I don't know, how many more years here? 3, 4 really good years possibly left for him?
I think 2, but
the Ravens are down. The Bengals are at an interesting crossroads. You either get it done now or you're not going to get it done. And I think the door is open over a five-year span for the Browns, if done right, to make their move by utilizing draft choices. And whomever the quarterback is going to get in, will get Josh Gordon back. And if Gordon can be, if Gordon has matured, he can give them the kind of hands and athleticism on the outside that the quarterbacks in recent years have been missing in Cleveland. Getting Gordon back to this quarterback would be like the getting a quarterback and a Pro Bowl level wide receiver back in the first round picks. In a moment, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ninety minutes from now, we'll be at the Bryce Jordan Center as Penn State takes on Nebraska tonight. Dick Girardi will be on with me beginning at 6:30 here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Tip-off set for 7 o'clock, the rematch with Nebraska. Siobhan Shields did make the trip. He's expected to play for Nebraska tonight. That's great news because after he saw that horrific fall he took against Rutgers, I'm just glad to see him back. And people are like, well, yeah, what about the game? Look, you know, after a while, you know, you go out, you play your game and see what happens. I don't want people out. Especially, you know, I don't want people out when they're hurt. At 7 o'clock tonight, 6:30 will be the airtime. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK and the Penn State Sports Network. A lot of good quarterback talk today. Combine, tomorrow they actually get out. Now, today they went through interviews and measurables today. Tomorrow they get to run 40-yard dashes, jump as high as they can, do a broad jump, and then throw a football. Yes, I always thought the broad jump was very important in measuring quarterback skills.
Being able to jump out of tackles.
An admirable attempt on your part to make sense of it.
Tried.
Not working, and you know it.